Today is Thursday, December 19th, and this is the World Socialist Website. The NATO-Ukrainian murder of Russian General Kirillov in the escalating global imperialist war by Andre Damon. On Tuesday, the Ukrainian Secret Service assassinated Igor Anatolievich Kirillov, the Russian lieutenant general in charge of its nuclear and chemical defense forces, in a terrorist bombing outside his home in Moscow. Kirillov is the highest-ranking member of any nuclear-armed military to have ever been assassinated. The murder was striking not only for its brazenness, but for the degree to which the U.S. and British media and political establishment have openly defended it. The killing of a military leader outside of a battlefield in a terrorist bombing is, under international law, classified as an act of perfidy and is prohibited under the Geneva Conventions. But this flagrant war crime was hailed by the British and American media. The Times of London called it a, quote, legitimate act of defense, unquote, in a lead editorial, while The Telegraph called it ingenious in the Wall Street Journal, audacious. After former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev made a thinly veiled threat to retaliate against NATO officials and even the Times staff, UK Foreign Secretary David Lammy said, quote, I stand with the Times, unquote, in what could only be viewed as an endorsement of the newspaper's editorial position that the murder was legitimate. This declaration followed statements by UK and US officials effectively endorsing the murder. The killing is but the latest in a series of extremely provocative measures taken by Ukraine, backed by the United States and NATO, with the intention of escalating the war in the weeks before the inauguration of incoming President Donald Trump on January 20th. Last month, the Biden administration and the government of UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer authorized Ukraine to carry out strikes using NATO weapons deep inside Russia, followed just days later by the beginning of strikes using American ATACMS ballistic missiles and British Storm Shadow cruise missiles. The Kremlin responded to these actions by adopting a revised nuclear doctrine to classify attacks on Russia by non-nuclear states with the assistance of nuclear powers as attacks by those nuclear powers, effectively authorizing a potential Russian retaliation against NATO. On November 21st, the New York Times reported that the Biden administration was discussing allowing Ukraine to deploy nuclear weapons. The Times wrote, quote, several officials even suggested that Mr. Biden could allow Ukraine to have nuclear weapons again, as it did before the fall of the Soviet Union, unquote. Meanwhile, officials from Germany and France confirmed that they are actively discussing the deployment of European troops to Ukraine. Russia responded by launching an intermediate-range ballistic missile armed with multiple re-entry vehicles which are capable of delivering nuclear missiles on the city of Dnipro in Ukraine. The aim of NATO's provocative actions is to create facts on the ground ahead of the inauguration of Trump in 1 month. Prior to the election, White House spokesperson Karine Jean-Pierre warned that Trump is a fascist who would be a, quote, dictator on day one, unquote. But the outgoing Biden administration has dropped all criticism of incoming U.S. President Donald Trump's stated aim of establishing a dictatorship in the United States. Instead, its sole concern in the transition is to continue to escalate Washington's wars all over the world, with its central priority being the escalation of the conflict with Russia. Trump and prospective members of his administration have publicly criticized Biden's authorization to strike deep inside Russia, as well as the killing of Kirillov. Sections of his administration have stated that they favor a negotiated settlement of the Ukraine war in order to focus U.S. military efforts on the militarization of the Pacific in preparation for conflict with China. Both the outgoing Biden and incoming Trump administrations share the goal of enforcing American hegemony and the dominance of the dollar through unrestrained military violence. Trump was the first American president to authorize the large-scale provision of lethal weapons to Ukraine in 2019, hoping to transform Ukraine into a NATO proxy and provoking the Russian invasion of February 2022. In 2018, the Trump administration unveiled a national security strategy that declared, quote, great power competition, not terrorism, is now the primary focus of U.S. national security, unquote. A difference in the foreign policy of the two administrations has to do with packaging. While Biden falsely claims that Washington's wars all over the world are driven by benevolent altruism, Trump has admitted that the U.S. conducts wars in order to plunder natural resources, expressed most bluntly in his demand for the U.S. to, quote, take the oil, unquote, from Iraq. Increasingly, the U.S. political establishment and media are recasting the war in Ukraine in the Trumpist language of imperialist plunder. The tone for the shift was set by U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham, who asserted in September, quote, they're sitting on $10 to $12 trillion of critical minerals in Ukraine. I don't want to give that money and those assets to Putin to share with China, unquote. In an essay published Wednesday in the Washington Post, columnist Mark Theisen asked, quote, does Trump want Putin to get Ukraine's $26 trillion in gas and minerals, unquote? Theisen declared, quote, Ukraine is not only the breadbasket of Europe, it is also a mineral superpower, with some of the largest reserves of 117 of the 120 most widely used minerals in the world. Of the 50 strategic minerals identified by the United States as critical to its economy and national security, many of which are quite rare yet key to certain high-value applications, Ukraine supplies 22. He added, quote, the American people have already invested about $183 billion to help Ukraine. Shouldn't U.S. taxpayers get a return on that investment? Do we want Ukrainian titanium going into American planes or into Russian and Chinese fighter jets that will threaten the United States and its allies? Do we want Ukraine's lithium and rare earths powering American-made electronics and electric vehicles or Chinese ones? End quote. In an article in Foreign Affairs titled The Price of American Retreat, Why Washington Must Reject Isolationism and Embrace Primacy, Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell declared that, quote, the United States' security and prosperity are rooted in military primacy. He added, quote, the United States urgently needs to reach a bipartisan consensus on the centrality of hard power to U.S. foreign policy. McConnell argues that the only way to dominate China, the stated central foreign policy aim of the Trump administration, is through a military victory over Russia. Quote, standing up to China will require Trump to reject the myopic advice that he prioritized that challenge by abandoning Ukraine, unquote. Whatever differences may exist over the relative priority of the European and Pacific theaters within the U.S. political establishment, there is support within all factions of both the Democratic and Republican parties for expanding the decades-long effort by U.S. imperialism to wage war all over the world to preserve and expand U.S. global hegemony. This reality was underscored with the overwhelming passage Wednesday by the United States Senate of the National Defense Authorization Act, the largest military funding bill of any country in human history, which mandates the expansion and modernization of the U.S. nuclear arsenal, alongside funding for military operations all over the world. Whatever demagogic criticisms of Biden's Ukraine policy Trump has made, the entire U.S. political establishment is committed to a massive expansion of war all over the world, waged with the methods of terrorism, assassination, and genocide pioneered in Israel's U.S.-funded war of extermination in Gaza. These wars are to be paid for with a frontal assault on the social, economic, and democratic rights of the working class, which Trump will immediately move to implement upon taking office. Plans are already being made for the slashing of Social Security, Medicare and Medicaid, the privatization of the U.S. Postal Service, and the dismantling of all remaining workplace and environmental protections. These actions, which will pad the bank accounts of the financial oligarchy, will all be justified in the name of the war effort. It is of vital importance to link the movement in the working class in defense of its social and democratic rights with the struggle against imperialist war on the basis of a socialist perspective of ending the capitalist system, which is the root cause of war and dictatorship. After the fatal shooting of UnitedHealthcare CEO, Jacobin promotes Bernie Sanders to peddle illusions in the Democrats and Medicare for All by Kevin Reed. The gunning down of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson on a New York City sidewalk on December 4th by shooter Luigi Mangione and the reaction of both the public and the ruling establishment to it have exposed important truths about life in the United States. The public response to the shooting has revealed widespread anger and hostility to the health insurance corporations and hatred of the oligarchic capitalist system more generally. A flood of public commentary on social media has expressed sympathy for the shooter, celebrated the death of Thompson, and denounced private health insurance companies like UnitedHealthcare for profiting off of the suffering and deaths of those who have been denied insurance claims. At the same time, the corporate and billionaire elite have reacted fearfully to the shooting death of Thompson and the public response. Security measures are being put in place to protect the corporate elite from an increasingly hostile public, while the profit gouging goes on and billionaires grow even wealthier. The World Socialist website has made clear that acts of vigilante violence against individual representatives of the ruling class will not bring an end to corporate control of the healthcare industry or advance the struggle against capitalism. The actions of Mangione play into the hands of the ruling class and in no way advance the building of an independent and revolutionary political movement of the working class aimed at establishing socialism. It is within this context that Jacobin, the magazine of the Democratic Socialists of America, or DSA, published on December 11th, an interview with the independent Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, with the aim of sowing illusions in and resuscitating the crisis-ridden Democratic Party. Under the headline, "Bernie Sanders, a Mass Movement Can Beat Health CEO Greed," Jacobin puts forth the pathetic lie that capitalist-based healthcare in the U.S. can be reformed, stating, quote, "Without a mass movement around Medicare for All, helmed by strong political leadership, it is difficult to imagine how people's rage and despair can be channeled into lasting change," unquote. Jacobin brings forward the increasingly discredited imposter Sanders as a means of diverting the mass hatred of the parasitic health insurance industry into support for the Democrats. The absurdity of Jacobin's claim that Sanders will lead a mass movement and provide strong political leadership against the healthcare corporations is exposed by the senator's recent public statements regarding the incoming administration of the fascist Donald Trump. Appearing on NBC's Meet the Press on December 15th, Sanders said he was looking forward to working with Trump, quote, "when he has ideas that can help the working class," unquote. Specifically on the issue of healthcare, Sanders said he was looking forward to, quote, "sitting down and talking," unquote, with Trump's anti-vaxxer nominee for Health and Human Services Director Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Sanders did not rule out supporting confirmation of the anti-science conspiracy theorists, saying that to do so would be premature. Sanders, along with the entire Democratic Party establishment, has dropped any reference to the fact that Trump is a fascist who is busy preparing, along with billionaire Elon Musk and the so-called Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, a massive attack on all federal funding, including for healthcare programs such as Medicaid and Medicare. Under these conditions, Jacobin's references to Medicare for All are a blatant fraud. The interview with Sanders was conducted by Chandler Dandridge, who is identified by Jacobin as, quote, "an American psychotherapist and educator interested in exploring creative ways to improve public mental health," unquote. Like all Jacobin writers and DSA associates, Dandridge has no connection to socialist revolution or the struggles of the working class. He is part of the middle-class left that is steeped in identity politics and tied to the Democratic Party. Dandridge begins by covering up the role of Barack Obama and the Democrats in the passage of the Affordable Care Act, or ACA, of 2010, which laid the foundation for the emergence of UnitedHealthcare, the most profitable health insurance provider in the U.S., with a reported $372 billion in revenue and $273 billion in total assets in 2023. Dandridge asked Sanders why the ACA, quote, "failed to fix our healthcare system," unquote, as though Obamacare was not created to benefit the health insurance and drug companies. Sanders replies by saying the purpose of ACA is, quote, to make as much money as possible, unquote, for the healthcare corporations, without mentioning that the Democrats and the Obama administration came up with the scheme in the first place. Sanders himself reveals the bankruptcy of turning to the Democrats for a solution to the healthcare crisis when they are preoccupied with defending the ACA. He says, quote, it saddens me that not only do Republicans have nothing to say on it, or I guess Trump is still working on a plan, but Democrats can't go much beyond trying to protect the Affordable Care Act, unquote. Sanders points out that the corporate-controlled healthcare system means that 60,000 people die each year in the U.S. because they do not get to a doctor in time to be medically treated. He adds that people in the U.S. pay the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs. Twice as much is spent per capita on healthcare in the U.S. than in any other country in the world. Reviving the language he used during his abortive campaigns for the Democratic nomination for president in 2016 and 2020, Sanders claims, quote, it will take a political revolution in this country to get Congress to say, you know what, we're here to represent ordinary people, to provide quality care to ordinary people as a human right, and not to worry about the profits of insurance and drug companies, end quote. In other words, the answer of Jacobin and Sanders is to pressure the Democratic Party, which just suffered an electoral debacle because of its policies of war, support for genocide and austerity, and is lurching further to the right and groveling before the fascist Trump. At the end of the interview, responding to a question from Dandridge about criticisms that Medicare for All is pie in the sky, Sanders makes clear that he is not opposed to capitalism and agrees with Elon Musk that the U.S. healthcare system is, quote, wasting hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars, unquote, because of money spent, quote, in bureaucracy, billing, and compensation costs for CEOs that make it inefficient and not cost-effective. What is called for in the aftermath of the mass support for the shooter who gunned down UnitedHealthcare CEO Thompson is the advancement of a political program aimed at abolishing the privately owned healthcare corporations and establishing socialized medicine under the control of a workers' government. The anger and hostility of the public to the corporate healthcare industry must be galvanized and united behind a movement of the working class that connects the right to healthcare with the fight against poverty, low wages, homelessness, unemployment, inflation, attacks on democratic rights, and imperialist war and genocide that are all the products of the capitalist system. As the World Socialist website explained on December 10th, the basic rights of the population include the right to free preventative care, prescription drugs, mental health care, and every advanced test and procedure, and, of critical importance, the right to an abortion, one of a woman's most important civil, political, and cultural rights, existing personal debt accumulated through exorbitant and outrageous health care expenses, must be abolished. All of this can and must be accomplished by a politically conscious working class, putting an end to the capitalist system and its rational, destructive subordination of human life to profit. Democrats join Republicans in passing fascistic Crucial Communism Teaching Act by Jacob Cross. A specter is haunting Washington, the specter of communism. Earlier this month, in a robust 372-62 bipartisan vote, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a McCarthyite bill requiring high school districts to indoctrinate children with fascist propaganda created by the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, or VOC. 156 Democrats joined 171 Republicans in voting in favor of the Crucial Communism Teaching Act. Democratic yay votes for the bill included a majority of the Progressive Caucus, including California Representative Ro Khanna and Maryland Representative Jamie Raskin, as well as the Democratic leadership in the House, including Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries of New York, Minority Whip Catherine Clark of Massachusetts, Caucus Chairman Pete Aguilar of California, and former Speaker Nancy Pelosi of California. In an attempt to head off growing interest in Marxism and socialism, the Crucial Communism Teaching Act calls for the development of civic education curriculum to ensure that high school students in the United States are taught blatant lies. The bill calls for the creation of a curriculum that includes a, quote, comparative discussion of certain political ideologies, including communism and totalitarianism, that conflict with the principles of freedom and democracy that are essential to the founding of the United States. The VOC is not an academic institution, but a far-right nonprofit created in 1993 by an act of Congress to advance U.S. imperialist propaganda. Founders of the VOC included Lev Dobryansky, Lee Edwards, and Zbigniew Brzezinski. All three men are lifelong opponents of equality, friends to fascists, and servants of U.S. imperialism. Dobryansky taught at Georgetown University, served as an ambassador to the Bahamas in the Reagan administration, and was also the chairman of the Anti-Communist National Captive Nations Committee, or NCNC. The co-chair of the NCNC was Jaroslav Stetsko, a leader of the Nazi-aligned Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, or OUN, during World War II and the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations. Brzezinski was a top U.S. imperialist strategist for decades and security advisor to Democratic President Jimmy Carter. In addition to supporting the Shah's counter-revolution in Iran and Central American death squads, Brzezinski backed the arming of the Islamist Mujahideen in Afghanistan. Finally, Edwards helped found the right-wing group Young Americans for Freedom in 1960 and was a former chairman of the VOC. In an obituary posted last week, the VOC noted that Edwards, quote, started or helped sustain key anti-communist organizations, such as the National Captive Nations Committee, the Committee for a Free China, and the American Council for World Freedom, end quote. Edwards worked on Barry Goldwater's 1964 presidential campaign, taught at Georgetown University, and was a fellow at the Heritage Foundation. The legislation advanced by the VOC calls for teaching, quote, that communism has led to the deaths of over 100 million victims worldwide, and that, quote, 1.5 billion people still suffer under communism, unquote. The 100 million figure is a lie that originated in the Black Book of Communism, a 1997 book by Stéphane Courtois and other European academics who have distanced themselves from the volume following its publication due to the numerous errors and falsehoods contained within it. Courtois reached his outrageous figure by, among other things, counting Nazis who died fighting the Red Army during World War II as victims of communism. Courtois' book seeks to present Nazism and communism as twin evils, with the former more acceptable to Courtois. Early in the book, he contrasts the 100 million supposedly killed under communism with the approximately 25 million who were victims of the Nazis. The legislation passed last week not only seeks to whitewash the crimes of Nazism, but to prepare students for future war with China. The bill demands that the curriculum focus on, quote, past and present communist and totalitarian regimes, namely the treatment of Uyghurs in the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region, or XUAR, by the People's Republic of China, and the, quote, increasingly aggressive posture by the People's Republic of China toward Taiwan, a democratic friend of the United States. While demonizing official enemies of U.S. imperialism, the bill calls for propaganda lectures that include oral history resources. These resources are to include, quote, personal stories titled Portraits and Patriotism, which will feature, quote unquote, victims of communism and proponents of, quote unquote, freedom and democracy. The passage of the bill reflects immense fear within the U.S. ruling class that large sections of the population, including millions of young workers and students, will be looking for a revolutionary alternative to the unending war, inequality, austerity, and fascism offered by the capitalist system. In a press release introducing the legislation last year, far-right Florida Republican Maria Elvira Salazar, a Cuban exile, noted that a poll conducted by the VOC in 2020 found that 1 in 5 millennial people and 1 in 3 members of Gen Z view communism favorably. A 2022 poll conducted by the Pew Research Center found that 36% of U.S. adults viewed socialism somewhat, 30%, or very, at 6% positively, while only 57% viewed capitalism favorably, an 8% decrease compared to 2019. The passage of the bill comes under conditions where President-elect Donald Trump has promised to carry out a mass deportation operation, targeting not only immigrants, but also his political enemies, chiefly, quote, communists and Marxists, unquote. Last June, Trump promised to use, quote, Section 212F of the Immigration and Nationality Act to order my government to deny entry to all communists and Marxists, unquote. Trump has also called for a new law to address, quote, the ones that are already here that grew up here, unquote. Far from defending the democratic rights of the population to the threat posed by Trump and his oligarchic backers, the Democrats are moving swiftly to accommodate Trump and work with him and the Republicans in order to prosecute an imperialist war against Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. VOC experts have been welcomed to Washington to advance quote-unquote humanitarian interventionist arguments to justify U.S. militarism. Adrian Zenz, a German researcher and senior fellow at the VOC, received bipartisan support in Congress last year for his research on the Uyghur genocide in China. Former Wisconsin Representative Mike Gallagher praised Zenz for playing a, quote, paramount role in bringing these atrocities to light, unquote. Illinois Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy likewise praised Zenz's research for supposedly demonstrating that the, quote, mass ending of Uyghur births clearly meets the definition of genocide, unquote. Neither Gallagher nor Krishnamoorthy has characterized the over 14-month U.S.-backed Israeli mass murder and ethnic cleansing in Gaza as genocide. Krishnamoorthy was one of the 156 Democrats who voted in favor of the Crucial Communism Teaching Act. This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.